All right, we will call this hearing to order at 2 o'clock on December 11th, 2025. The November 13th, 2025 minutes are approved. Good afternoon and welcome to the City of Edgewater Code Enforcement hearing. My name is Ryan Knight. I'm the Special Magistrate for the City of Edgewater. These hearings are open to the public under Florida's government and the Sunshine Law. The procedures of this hearing are that due process is emphasized for each respondent and to the city in accordance with Florida Statute 162.07, which states formal rules of evidence shall not apply, but fundamental due process shall be observed and shall govern the proceedings. Hearsay is admissible, but only to support other competent substantial evidence. Any decision made today may be appealed by sending notice of appeal to the circuit court within 30 days of execution of any order. The city will present its case first, as it has a burden of proof. Afterwards, the respondents will have an opportunity to respond. At this time, please silence all cell phones. If you will be offering any testimony, can you please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? First up on the agenda is old matter 25-122853.
Good afternoon. So this case was a case for a tree that was cut down without a permit. We had requested for a continuance on it based off of a document not being produced in time. I have since obtained that document for Oakleaf Preserve, the proposed specimen tree mitigation form here, and it does show on that first page where that number came from for the request from the original, from the Development Services Director of the 1266.73 there.
Okay, so what I have in the file looks like, was this part of a development agreement,
if you know? It was. It was a part of the original development agreement. I believe it was in 07.
The only issue I have is under section 21-5510 of the Land Development Code, which is enforcement of removal of a tree without a permit. It provides that the historic specimen trees removed in violation of this section shall be replaced at a ratio of 2 inches per 1 inch of caliper lost. In lieu of physical replacement, City Council may impose a fee of $37 per cross-sectional square inch lost, or in combination, or a combination thereof.
Correct. And then, because of the PUD being a specific regulation for that development that was agreed upon with the city, that code, the PUD would supersede that code.
Okay. And I have the request as tree mitigation fine of $1,200. Is that supposed to be $1,266? 73?
Correct.
Okay. Is there anybody here for the respondent? All right, seeing none, based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122853, we'll find that there was a violation of the code as stated in the citation 0032. Will order that the respondent shall be subject of a civil fine in the amount of $300. Additionally, pursuant to the development agreement, there shall be a fine, tree mitigation fine in the amount of $1,266.73. And that shall be a one-time payment. There shall be no other fines applied. Okay, next matter, new business 7A, B, and C. It's case number 24-121696, and that's A, B, and C.
Good afternoon. My name is Myron San Miguel, Code Supervisor for City of Edgewater. This will be case number 24-121696 for citation 0034. Property address is 1103 South Ridgewood Ave in Edgewater, Florida, 32132. Parcel ID of 743306030010. The owner is All Florida Plumbing and Electric. This case began in November of 2024 when a concerned resident, Jim Fox, brought to code enforcement's attention that the All Florida Plumbing property had never completed their permit for the concrete wall along East Turgot, the building color, and the outdoor storage exceeding the 8-foot variance-approved wall. The following violations were investigated and found to be valid. 21-36.03 for commercial outdoor storage exceeding the height of the fence. 21-640.10, the building color, must conform to the approved colors and percentages for Ridgewood Corridor Agreement. 7-1 for the Florida Building Code's 105.1 permit required. The color of the concrete wall must match the approved permit. All Florida Plumbing has been in business at this location since 1994. In 2018, the business expanded the structural footprint by attaching an addition to the original principal structure. This warehouse was permitted under 18-148 permit. At this time, the color of the building was painted in violation of the building color. In 2021, permit 21-2492 was obtained and approved for the chlorine tank on the northwest side of the property. The approved chlorine tank is a part of the commercial outdoor storage violation that exceeds the height of the fence on the lot. In 2022, permit 22-3131 was issued for an 8-foot-high fence with stucco wall along the East Turgot Road. This was supposed to be painted a tan/beige color, as noted in the permit. However, it was never painted that color and remained white, causing the violation of the permit required. It should be noted that there's currently an active code case for a violation not having a conditional use permit for the property caused by the expansion of the storage building in 2018. This code case is currently in mediation and may change the corrective actions required for any nonconformity currently on the property, including but not limited to all outdoor storage and warehouse storages. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. The staff recommends that the special magistrate find the property in violation of the codes, the citation of $75 for each violation, totaling $225, and a daily fine of $100 per day per violation that exceeds past January 15th of 2026.
Hey, anybody for the respondent?
Yes, sir. Edward Thompson on behalf of All Florida Plumbing and Supply. All Florida Plumbing and Electrical Supply. Sir, I'm here with Mr. Clayton Beasley Sr. and Mr. Clayton Beasley Jr., the two owners of the business. First, I want to enter into evidence an affidavit of Mr. Beasley Sr. And I would like to call Mr. Beasley up to testify, please.
And sir, you were previously sworn in, correct?
I have.
Thank you.
Mr. Beasley, could you please state your full name?
Clayton Eugene Beasley. See you.
And sir, you are an owner of All Florida Plumbing and Electrical Supply Company, is that true?
With partners with my son.
Okay, Mr. Beasley Jr., who's sir. Also here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, sir, on you signed an affidavit that we've marked as an exhibit to this hearing. Do you remember preparing that affidavit, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is everything in that affidavit true and correct?
Absolutely.
Are the statements in that affidavit based on your personal knowledge?
That is correct.
Okay. Sir, when did All Florida Plumbing and Electrical Supply Company begin doing business at 1103 Southwood? Ridgewood Avenue in Edgewater?
We bought the property in 93.
Okay.
Now, as far as the actual opening date, 100%, I'm not sure.
Okay.
93, 94.
Okay. And I'll ask you just to answer.
Sure.
Okay. The business sells plumbing and electrical supplies and services to its customers. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the business began the outdoor storage of materials on the northern storage area of its property in 1994, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. and you added an outdoor chlorine storage tank to the property in 1995. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And Mr. Sam Marcus just mentioned the tank being relocated. So the tank was relocated in 2018 and 2021. Is that right, sir?
That's correct.
Okay. And both times that was properly permitted?
Absolutely. Okay. And approved.
Okay. And both the outdoor storage and the chlorine tank, those uses began before the city of Edgewater adopted its land use code. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So have you been operating the business this entire time as a legal, since the adoption of the current rules, have you been operating the business as a legal nonconforming use?
Correct.
Okay. And are you aware of correspondence from the city attorney to one of the neighbors, in fact, one of the neighbors who precipitated this action against you, Mr. Jim Fox?
We are.
Okay. And, sir, I'd like to enter into evidence next exhibit two, a letter dated April 14th, 2023 from Jim and Jennifer. I'm sorry, it's from Aaron Wolf, city attorney for City of Edgewater, to Jim and Jennifer Fox.
Can we have that read into the record?
If you want to read it, you can, but it's, yeah. it has been entered as an exhibit.
Well, it's in there as a, it's going to be an exhibit to the record. But, sir, I just want to bring to the special magistrate's attention that on the second page, paragraph at the top, this is, again, from the city attorney to Jim and Jennifer Fox, who were two neighbors of the subject property. Your letter also raised concerns regarding all Florida plumbing conducting pickup and delivery of product from the swale and or street East Turgot Avenue. As you know, parking is limited at the business location, as this business has been in existence for many years, well before the codes that are in place today were enacted. Therefore, the business is currently operating in a legal, non-conforming manner with limited parking. As the business storage site is located on East Turgot Avenue, it is reasonable and lawful for pickup and delivery of product to occur as you describe due to the business operating in a legal non-conforming matter. And down at the bottom, the last paragraph states you also raise concerns regarding outdoor storage at the business not being hidden by proper fencing and the business dispensing chlorine at the site. As stated above, the business is currently operating in a legal non-conforming manner as it existed prior to the adoption of the existing land development code. The existing fencing was erected prior to the current restrictions. If the fencing were to suffer damage of 50% or more, it would have to meet the new standards in place today. With respect to the pre-existing chlorine tank, a code enforcement case was opened when the tank was relocated without a permit. The owner subsequently corrected the violation by moving the tank back. I hope that I have addressed all of your questions and concerns. Sincerely, Aaron R. Wolf. So the city has acknowledged in the past that this is the chlorine tank and the outdoor storage, which are two of the three violations at issue here, were legal nonconforming uses. And that's our position.
May I ask a question?
So those...
I would like to add those.
So it's a legal nonconforming use for both the outdoor storage in general and the chlorine tank. And then just shifting then to the subject of the wall, the masonry wall that's there now actually exceeds what's required. All Florida wants to be a good neighbor. They have taken action to beautify their building and their premises. And one of the things that they did was they replace their chain link fence. That's all that's required is chain link fence with slatting in it. They took that out. They put in a masonry wall, 8 foot high along the front, along the side, in the back, in the rear, it's down to 6 feet. There was no There was no nothing in the permit that said what color the nothing in the permit that said what color the wall would be.
So I just handed him the permit that does show that their color is supposed to be tan and beige at the end, and that was the approved permit in 2022.
Okay.
What date was the letter written that you're referencing from the attorney Aaron Wolf, please?
Well, that was 2023.
Okay.
Is what you just handed him with that permit, is that in the packet?
That is, and I'll take it up to show it to you as well, because there's a lot of documents.
Okay. And I would like, if you could show me then, where does it say,
Yeah, right here. So where it says wall.
That's on a picture.
So this is a file that was within the permit, the approved permit's right here.
I'm pretty good at arguing.
Yeah. So, but I just want you guys to see where what I see in the system, and this is all we have to go off of. So when we go from the permit here, and we go to the documents that were within it, and I go and I look at the corrective actions requested, that's what I see, and that's why the site, the violation was noticed for that, because in the permit it says the primer's white, but the wall final paint is tan and beige. And so that's what was approved, was tan and beige.
Apparently, this, just to point out.
And so we're clear on the record. Can you just explain what you're talking about? I know you said it was in the packet. What specific page is that? Or what's the...
So it's going to be specific to the permit number 223131. Back in 2022, in October 17th of 2022, it was the permit request for them for their wall.
Okay, thank you.
Follow up on that. Yes. Oops.
The letters exhibit number two and city. I don't see these notes in the packet for the agenda that I have printed out. Yeah, if we could just hold on to that and we'll mark that as an exhibit as well.
Yeah. Mr. Knight, I just want to point out that the, and for the record, the requirement that the wall be painted beige or tan is, it's an annotation basically printed on a photograph on the very last page of the whole permit package. It's not included in the actual document itself. And also, even on the statement of plan review corrections report, City of Edgewater, and it's dated 10/12/22, it merely says concrete walls shall be stucco and painted to complement the surrounding character of the area. Please indicate the stucco and paint color in the plans. The application Well, basically, sir, the bottom line is all Florida was never told that it had to be tan or beige.
So that's, I would agree with that. They were never told that from the city. They presented that as to what that they would have. What my understanding is, the request for corrections was received to them of it needs to make sure that it's painted a surrounding color, and they submitted the photo into the permit application of this is the color that we're going to go with. And that's why it shows in the photo the primer is white, then the final color should be tan.
Mr. Beasley would like to clarify on that.
Yeah. So Certainly, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. First off, the picture that everyone's seeing is a picture of my store, our store in Daytona Beach. It's not the picture of the wall in Edgewater. It was submitted by the company that was putting the wall up. Our wall up there is also white. It's not beige. We don't know where beige ever came in and how they got the picture. We were never privy to any of that. If they had wanted to know what the color of the wall would have been, it would have been that gentleman right there. They should have called or had us come back down. I also want to note that to correct our not beige wall to be white, we've tried to pull a permit to paint the wall white, and they will not issue a permit to us to just paint the wall white, because the wall is going to be white. It matches the trim of our building. Who would paint their wall beige with a white trim building? You wouldn't do it at your house. So the reality of it is that's not the wall, that's not our picture, and we want the wall to be white. We'll pay for, we'd be happy to pay for a permit for the wall to be white, because guess what? It's already white. And it's really not why we're here. We're here more about the yard. Thank you.
And sir, one last thought on the wall. Even if, which as Mr. Beasley stated, and as I've stated, and I think as the evidence shows, there's no violation here, but even if you determine that there is a violation, we ask that no fines be imposed based on the ambiguity here. But even then, the ambiguity makes it so that there really is no violation. I also need to address the color of the building, the yellow color of the building. That's one of the violations as well. Again, stated in the affidavit, and I can ask Mr. Beasley some questions about that as well. Sir, when was your building painted yellow? The main building?
2009, yeah. Okay.
So first of all, that building predates the current regulations.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Which the Ridgewood Corridor Design Standards were adopted in 2012.
Correct.
The other issue, sir, is what is prohibited? Loud garish colors, black fluorescent neon colors, are prohibited. Our belief is that yellow is not loud, garish, fluorescent, or neon. Obviously, it's not black. If nothing else, the regulation is vague. I mean, it should be void for vagueness. Just based on, it's a subjective standard. Most importantly, the building's been there for years. It's been painted color for years. The back building was duly permitted, passed, and it was allowed to be yellow. So we have the issue of, again, legal non-conforming use for the front building and for the rear building. That paint color was approved years ago.
It has a name, too.
It does have a name. It is Benjamin Moore.
Delightful yellow.
Delightful yellow.
Which is what it's called legally.
I mean, it's a mainstream color. It's not obnoxious, fluorescent, anything like that. So that is important. It's important to the business. I do want to point out also, sir, just there was mention made in the report to you about a conditional use that's been applied for. There is mediation pending on that, potential litigation pending on that, also a variance. And what the reason, the background on that is that all Florida was actually trying to be a good neighbor and not just rely on legal nonconforming use. They were actually trying to upgrade their facilities to meet current code to the maximum extent possible and get a conditional use and a variance for everything else. That was actually originally granted by the Zoning Commission, but then one of the neighbors appealed it to the city, and then purely for political reasons, we believe. I mean, that's the city council is a political body. Purely for political reasons, an appeal by the resident neighbor was granted. But that's really a separate issue from the legal nonconforming use, which is what we have here. The chlorine tank and the outdoor storage predate the current restrictions, and therefore these uses are allowed. Again, the color of the wall, we discussed that, and the color of the building predates the regulations and was also approved by the city. So, you know, this isn't about politics. This is about the fair, equal, equitable application of the law, and the law requires that the citations that have been issued against All Florida Plumbing and Electrical be dismissed.
Okay, thank you. City, would you like a response?
Thank you, Mr. Knight. Aaron Wolf, city attorney. The business underwent a substantial expansion in 2018. At that time, it lost its legal non-conforming status. So it is required at this point to comply with current regulations. As far as the commercial outdoor storage, I don't think there's any question that the outdoor storage racks, and the height of the chlorine tank exceed the height of the wall by about 4 feet. So that is a violation of the city code. As to the building color, the issue there is it's simply too bright. The code prohibits gaudy or garish colors. And in the opinion of city staff, the building color is simply too bright of yellow, more of a highlighter type yellow color. And so the color needs to be toned down to comply with the code. As far as the wall color, again, the picture submitted with the permit for that indicates it's to be a tan or beige color. Instead, it's left as a white primer color, which we believe violates the permit. So we would ask that the violations be sustained and a daily fine imposed.
For one more thing, I want to rebut the notion that the business was expanded in any material way. And I'll ask Mr. Beasley, sir, you started using the you started outdoor storage there in 1994.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and you started the chlorine. You had the outdoor storage tank there. Starting when again? You tell us?
95.
Now the building, you added a building, is that correct?
Or that's correct.
An addition, mm-hmm. And that was 2018?
That was
2018. Okay. Did you expand the outdoor storage in any way?
No, not at all.
And did you expand the use of the chlorine storage in any way?
We did not. We pulled a permit to move it where they wanted us to. And we did that twice because they messed us up on the first one. They let us put it where we thought we could put it, and then we found out that wasn't right, and we moved it happily with another permit. Three permits, three times.
Okay. Same size tank the whole time?
Never changed it at all.
And okay.
Yeah, that's exactly.
What size is that tank?
Tank, Clay? 850-gallon? Yeah. Actually, less of the tank is visible now because of the wall being 8 feet, and nothing protrudes higher, nowhere near 4 feet. That he stated he's wrong about that. Okay. And also would like to, if I could, Ed.
Sure.
When we had our original planning and zoning, we won 7-0 with that board sitting up here, 7-0. They asked us to do things, take things off the top of the rack. Would we be happy to do that? Moving the rack, taking things off the tops of the rack so they wouldn't be as visible. We did all of that, put a stop sign coming out to the road, changed business hours for shipping and delivering, all achieved, all done. Nobody from the city ever showed up to see if we even got it done. All of what we did, everything they asked us to do. We put out flyers to our customers to try not to use Turagot, which they have every right to do. We ask trucks not to park on the side or block the road in any way. All of this has happened. We send out 375 statements to our vendors about changing our receiving and shipping hours to try to help too. None of it we had to do, we just did it to try to get along. Our point is we shouldn't be here. We are legally non-conforming on everything that we've done. We went along, we were brought in front of Meyer here, which we've got no hard feelings here, but we were asked to come and do a few things and all this would just go away. So we paid the $1,200 to try to make them happy, and this thing turned into this. Legal non-conforming is everywhere. As I pulled up in this place here today, I saw legal non-conforming with a handicapped parking place right out here. It's supposed to be 18 feet from the front to the back. It's not. Got out and measured it today. They are non-conforming with a handicapped parking place. None of them parking places up here. It's in a small city. It's everywhere. We've been in business. We want to be part of the community. We're sick and tired of being picked on. It's a beautiful wall. Everybody that lives around here, there's a couple of people in the back here want to speak on our behalf. We do everything we can to make it as nice as we can. Take a look at our place. It's absolutely gorgeous. Thank you.
And sir, what would you say to their argument that from the substantial expansion in 2018 that the property lost its legal non-conforming use?
That's not true. I mean, they built it. They added a building to the back, to the rear, but it didn't materially change the use of the property. And the issue here about the issue is that the city is going after is the outdoor storage, and the chlorine tank. Yes, sir.
Yeah. To add to what we did for storage, before we put the building up, we had Connex, three Connex containers, because we needed, over the years, we added them in. Legal or non-legal, I don't know. We had them like everybody in this town has Connex containers. We agreed that we would take all that out, take everything out of the yard, and put it inside of a building. That's exactly what we agreed to. All we did was just put a storage building up. We didn't change the footprint of the yard or change anything in the yard at all.
So, in other words, it didn't expand.
No.
It actually improved the overall look by taking Connexes away and putting what used to be in the Connexes
inside the building.
In a building.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mr. Knight, part of what kind of brought us here today with these and why this case has gone on for the year, which is unusual for these types of violations, is because Mr. Clay is correct in the fact that they were in a nonconformity status up until 2018 when they added this building structure. What should have happened in 2018 was a conditional use permit. The zoning for that property, I believe, is light industrial, and under the land development code, it states that any outdoor storage is a conditional use, meaning they need a conditional use permit. We had a meeting. We all agreed. They did go and request a conditional use permit from the Planning and Zoning Board that was approved, but unfortunately that was overturned by council. So that kind of brought us here because of that overturning, they have lost that nonconformity status, which is why these three violations are considered in violation now at this time.
Okay. And if I could just add, under nonconforming uses, section 2171 of the Land Development Code, it specifically states that nonconforming uses shall not be expanded, which is exactly what happened here when they added a building structure to the existing business. That then caused them to lose nonconforming status in 2018.
Sir, I have one more exhibit I think would be helpful,
sure.
And I'm going to ask Mr. Beasley some questions about it. And I'll copy there. And it's these are printouts of a PowerPoint presentation. And Mr. Beasley, you've seen this.
Sure.
You've seen this before. Just on the first slide, the title slide, is that a photograph of your building there?
It is.
Okay, and it shows the fence there. That's the old fence that has the slats.
It
is. Right, sir?
Yes.
Okay, but as far as the building itself, is that pretty much what the building looks like?
That's exactly what it looks like.
All right. And to the to the photographer's right, closest to the street there, that's the original building?
It is.
Okay, and then the building in the back is the other building,
it
right?
Is. That's okay. Correct.
You've already testified that that the footprint has not expanded. Is that right?
We've shrank the yard, but we haven't No, we have not.
Okay, and everything that's in that building, that's stored in that building now, used to be stored in Connex's on the same land footprint.
That's correct.
All right. The third page is a timeline of the property. You've reviewed that before, haven't you, sir?
Say it again.
Have you seen this timeline?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is this timeline accurate based on your knowledge of the history of the
correct.
Property?
Yes.
Okay. And then the next page is there are three aerial photos, or satellite photos, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It says continued storage use 1995 to the present. And are those, I know especially the one on the left is, mm-hmm. is kind of blurry and it's in black and white, but does that accurately depict the property as it appeared?
In 1995, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It looks like the photo actually is apparently dated 1999, but is that still the same as
yes.
it looked in 95? Okay.
Well, in 1995, when we bought it was a junkyard, and we took about 25 loads of stuff out. So.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So that's what it looked like after you guys got it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then the next, the center photograph, the one in the middle, is dated 2004, and
yep.
that shows the same footprint. And then the next one is 2018, and is that before the addition was built?
That's before the addition, correct.
Okay, so the addition is just...
Behind
the building
mm-hmm.
that's visible
right there.
Right there,
behind it.
Okay. You didn't expand the footprint. Of the
no.
property, though. Okay. Okay. And the property zone B3 highway commercial, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now I'm flipping to the, there's a page that says photos of screening.
Yes.
And the photo on the left, that's what the fence used to look like with the slatted chain
You could
link.
See all of the racks through the fence.
Okay.
You could see a lot of the racking, of course.
Okay.
Now it's 8 foot high.
Okay. Now, and then the photo on the right shows the current masonry
That's
wall.
Correct.
All right. It also shows the no parking sign has been put there by the city, right?
Yeah.
Okay. okay. No further questions about that. So Mr. Knight, just again, the position is and what the facts are is that this property did not lose its nonconforming status merely by adding a building, which just merely essentially beautified it, cleaned up the mess, put the outdoor Connex things inside.
Thank you, sir. City, anything else?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to go through what the exhibits are. So exhibit number one will be the affidavit. Exhibit number two would be the letter from the attorney. Exhibit three will be the photos or the sort of PowerPoint package that you presented. And then exhibit four will be the city permit notes that you have there. So at this point, I am going to take this under advisement. I will issue a finding of fact, conclusion of law in order within 1 week. So you all will have that, and that will be transmitted to you. Other than that, if there's anything else?
Nothing else, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Nothing
Thank
for the
you.
City.
Did y'all want to speak?
No.
Okay.
I am, sir. Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Next one we'll do is 7E, case number
25-123098. 25-123098, that's citation number 837. I am Code Enforcement Officer Jacob McLaughlin. This is for the property 2220 Kumquat Drive, which is owned by Stephen Hendricks and Mary Masters. 2220 Kumquat Drive has had 6 cases with code enforcement since 2022 involving trailer storage, parking, and inoperable vehicles. On April 11th, 2024, an order was imposed on the property for violation of Section 10, 113, inoperable vehicles, resulting in a $75 citation fine. On November 19th, 2025, we received a complaint regarding a truck parked in the side yard of the property with expired tags. I confirmed that the tag expired February 2023 and that the truck was parked in the side yard. I attempted contact, but no one answered the door. On November 20th, I posted a citation for Chapter 10, Section 113, inoperable vehicles, due to this being a repeat violation. I also posted a notice violation for Chapter 10, Section 115, parking in residential areas, with a parking diagram attached. As this is a repeat violation for Section 113, I instated a daily fines of $500 per day until the violation is corrected. Between November 20th and December 1st, I received a no contact from the property. On December 1st, I re-inspected and met with the resident. He showed me the registration papers showing they registered the truck earlier that day. They also moved the truck to an appropriate parking space. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. Staff recommends a citation of $150 for the repeated violation of Chapter 10, Section 113, inoperable vehicles. As the violation was corrected on December 1st, daily fines of $500 per day from November 20th to December 1st are requested, totaling $6,000.
Is anybody here for the respondent? Yes, sir. Come on up. Yes, sir. Just go ahead and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name's Steve Hendricks, 2221 Kumquat Drive, Edgewater, Florida. And I have this problem with my grandson, but I mean, I don't, but I just wish that, and I mean, I'm responsible for the property, me and my daughter. I was just wondering if I could get it reduced from like $500 a day to $100 a day and I just pay it. It's not going to happen again because I'm leaving.
Okay, where are you going to, sir?
I don't know. I'm going to sell the house. Okay. I got a flipper and wants it. It's got a pool and everything, so.
Okay, so.
The only way I know to get rid of my grandson, if you all know the truth, tonight.
Well, is it your vehicle or your grandson's vehicle?
It's his. Okay.
Looks like you received a citation on November 20th, 2025. Did you take any steps to have the vehicle removed or anything?
I moved it.
Or registered the vehicle?
Yeah, it had insurance on it, but he just, well, I put it in the backyard and closed the gate, but. After I saw the diagram of where you're allowed to park everything, I was in the wrong. So.
And what kind of vehicle? This is a food, or sorry, I thought it said food truck. It's a Ford truck on the side of the road.
Yes, sir.
On the side of the house. Okay, and I have the previous violation was April 11th, 2024. City, what would your position be if daily fines were at $100 a day for 12 days for a total of $1,200, as he has requested?
That'd be acceptable. That'd be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anything else, sir?
No, I'm sorry that all this happened, but, you know, Myron's always been a complete gentleman with me and everything, and I just met Jacob, so he's good too.
Okay.
I mean, they work with me and talk with me, and you know, so, okay, so.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. So based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-123098, find that the respondent was in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as provided for in the citation filed in this matter. Find that the respondent has corrected the violation, and I order that the respondent refrain from repeating the violation. Consider the gravity of the violation, the actions to correct the violation, and previous violations by the respondent, which in the case file, there was a previous finding of facts and order entered on April 11th, 2025. So this is a repeat violation. I will uphold the citation, the amount of $150, and the fines, the daily fines will be $100 per day from November 1st to November 20th to December 1st, totaling $1,200. Okay, sir.
Okay.
That is it. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yes, sir. Okay, case number 25-122970.
This is in reference to citation number 836 for 3120 Silver Palm Drive, owned by Betty Mae Walls. On October 17th, I received a complaint from Cheryl Morris at 3116 Silver Palm. She stated that Betty Mae at 3120 Silver Palm was continuously setting her car alarm off at random points throughout the night and sometimes during the day. Cheryl had recordings and called the police, who told her it was a code enforcement issue. We've been monitoring the situation since September 22nd. I met with Cheryl, and she showed me multiple videos of a car horn going off repeatedly. The videos were taken from her bedroom and guest room. She told me that sometimes it is the car alarm, but sometimes it is the horn going off from locking the car repeatedly. This is not an isolated issue, and the car horn and alarm goes off almost every other night for an unreasonable length of time, sometimes over 20 consecutive honks. The neighbors wanted to try and work it out themselves prior to contacting code enforcement, but the noise disturbance hasn't stopped. I delivered and mailed a notice of violation for Chapter 10, Section 23, Subsection 1, Specific Noises Prohibited, Horns and Signaling Devices. On November 5th, I received an email from Cheryl that the horn honking continued that morning at 2:47 a.m. Additionally, she called me at 9:35 a.m. to tell me that the horn was going off at 9:26 a.m. as well, and that she had a video of the incident. I met with Cheryl and Carrie Richardson from 3109 Silver Palm. Cheryl, Carrie, and Cheryl's lawn care worker, Chris, heard the car alarm going off over 25 times at 9:26 in the morning. They provided me the video, and Cheryl and Carrie filled out voluntary statements to document the disturbance. Chapter 10, Section 23, Subsection 1 specifically covers horns, signaling devices, and other similar devices. The sounding of any horn or signaling device on any automobile or other vehicle is only authorized as a danger warning and for no other reason. After reviewing the video and the statements, I hand-delivered a citation on November 5th for Chapter 10, Section 23, Subsection 1, Specific Noises Prohibited, Horns and Signaling Devices. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. Staff recommends a citation for $75 and no daily fines are requested at this time. We also have Cheryl is on Teams available to give her statement regarding the activity on November 5th.
Okay. Ms. Morris, are you able to hear me? Okay. That's all right. It's a little hard to see, but it looks like you. If you could just raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay. Thank you. You may go ahead. Okay, and I know. I know in the city's file that they produced for the agenda today, there were four videos. I did review those videos. There was one that was, I think, around a minute long or so. Is that the one that you're referring to when you said there was... Okay, so... So that video with the car alarm going off over 25 times, was that, did that occur on November 5th, 2025? Okay. Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Is Carrie Richardson here?
Dunn City.
The only other thing is that we do have a statement from Carrie Richardson, which was added to the evidence, where she confirmed everything that Miss Cheryl said.
I did see that. Thank you.
Perfect.
All right, ma'am. Please state your name and address for the record.
Betty Mae Walls, 3120 Silver Palm Drive.
Okay.
I apologize. The drawbridge went up, so I was a few minutes late, and I don't know if you guys had called me prior, but what I would like to say in response to that is I do not honk my horn multiple times. I did not have this problem years ago. Prior to this car, I didn't have that problem with my black Lexus. If that was the case, I don't know why she didn't do something about it then. To me, this is more of a personal issue. Yes, there was an incident where my car alarm did go off and I couldn't find the keys in time. But if I, even, so there may be a video where a car alarm went off, but this does not happen every day. This isn't multiple times a day. She's not telling the truth. I mean, if you want to ask, she has her little friend that's going to, you know, state what she wants her to state. But I mean, we can call, I can ask the neighbor across the street. We can call any one of my children. I mean, just out of blue, I don't have a statement. If I need to get a statement and submit it, I mean, I can get plenty of statements to submit that. I have children that go to school. My daughter's in high school. If that was the case, I'd be waking my children up all throughout the night. And in regards to she saying she called the police and that they said this is like a ordinance thing. No, that's not true. What happened is she doesn't like me, and she went to my mortgage company and told them all kinds of stuff about me that wasn't true. So they did it in like an investigation and said that there's nothing they can do. I'm not behind on my mortgage. I'm up to date. My escrow's ahead, and that if she has any problems to call the police. So that's when she started these multiple calls, and I don't know. And then one because I had to have fire in my house, I was out front, like in my driveway, and I heard like someone just honk, and then like I didn't hear nothing honk, where I literally yelled, "That's not me," because I had a feeling she's doing some kind of recording. So whatever recording she has, I would like to see my vehicle, not just the noise of a horn honking, because I believe that if she does have any videos, more than one, then it's staged. Because yes, my alarm did go off one time when I could not find the keys, but as into like not even once a week. I mean, if that's the case, she like I said, yeah, it did go off. I did not find my keys. Yes, I did get a key fob made. I'm on a fixed income myself, and it was $200 and something because I was having issues with the key. But prior to the key issue or whatever, I haven't had a problem since, you know. And like personally, it's just like it's ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. And okay, so my car alarm accidentally goes off. I don't believe that is just for the citation. It's not like I'm making this noise happen on purpose, intentionally, with malice intentions. You know, it accidentally went off. Okay, then that goes for a verbal or like a written notice. But it looks like I've had all these things, because she blows up this complaints. So, I mean, in all due respect, I should get, I believe, what's fair. Like, it's an accident. My car alarm went off. I couldn't find the key fob, okay? then I should be getting a notice to, you know, be careful. But I mean, to sit here and give me a citation, I think is extreme. And also based on my circumstances, I don't, trust me, I don't want to annoy this lady. Her voice is annoying enough for, sorry, but I don't want to annoy this lady. I want peace. I really do want peace. And I feel like she just has a vendetta against me. I think it has to do with my ex-husband or whatever. But I like, for example, I have literally went above and beyond to try to make peace with this lady. I really have. Like my ex-husband was supposed to do some work for her or whatever. We're not together. I have a restraining order on him actually. And he didn't complete the job. And just out of respect, I felt like I should at least try to, you know, make things better. So she had this issue, and I had me and my three adult children and one child that's a minor all go and help her. Well, she didn't help. She watched. But we went and pulled, like, these lily pads out of the pond, or what she calls a pond, the big ditch out back. It's like a whatever. But basically, my children and I, and trust me, they did not want to do it. We went out there for 2 days, probably about 3 hours each day. We all got poison ivy. I had to go to the hospital. I'm not like after no medical bills or nothing. What I'm trying to say is like, I've done everything I could to make peace with her. I'm not intentionally trying to annoy her. That's the last thing on my mind. I got too much to worry about. And I don't feel I should be cited for an accidental alarm going off. And if she has these multiple car horns, I would like to see my car in the video, because I don't take it past this lady to stage whatever. And yes, it has accidentally went off one time, but not multiple times a day, not throughout the week, and not in my car prior.
Okay. Do you have, you mentioned you could get some statements or have some statements?
Yes, I mean, we could call
them
right now.
Is there anybody here? Well, we can't call them on the phone, unfortunately.
Can I do a Zoom thing like that?
Or on the phone. If you can get them on here.
Yeah, I can do that.
Within 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
If you want to.
Yes, sir. I could do it right now.
If you want them to testify, they're going to have to show an ID and swear under oath.
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the meantime, City, do you have a response?
I'd just like to state that we did go through the code enforcement process where she received a verbal from my supervisor, Myron San Miguel, and then she was given a notice of violation prior to the citation. We didn't go immediately to a citation for this case.
And those were, he said that I was given a verbal and whatever other citation. Those were cases that I was already not guilty of, because that's not what took place. This is, a lot of this is fabricated. It accidentally went off. It didn't accidentally go off three times. This should be my first warning. This shouldn't be my citation. Those other ones shouldn't apply, because this is not true. So if that was the case, this should be the warning, and see if it goes on or after that or whatever. But I mean, I don't feel like the first incidents I'm not guilty of. This is not intention, you know? And like I said, I have a restraining order on an ex. I've been a victim of a break-in and a sexual assault at 19. So I suffer from PTSD, which I'm disabled for. And so I'm on high alert around my surroundings. I've even called the police and asked them.
Okay, ma'am, hold on. Since I allowed a witness for the city to testify via video, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that.
Okay.
But if you have somebody, you need to get them on as soon as possible.
Okay.
Otherwise,
is there a phone I can use to just call? Or can somebody call my, like, I can give you a phone number. I have to get onto Wi-Fi. I've had to use like all the money I've had. I'm on a fixed income, and my house had a fire, and for my living expenses, I have to
Mr. Knight, the city's not going to provide ability for her to call a witness. If she didn't call a witness prior to the hearing, we would object to her presenting one.
Can I have 5 minutes?
Yes, just because I let the city testify via Teams. 5 minutes, ma'am. Yes. It's going to have to be on your phone, ma'am. Yes, take a 5 minute recess. You can at the end, ma'am. We're in a 5 minute recess for right now. Okay, let's go back on the record. Okay, ma'am, do you have somebody on the phone who's going to offer testimony?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So is it on your personal phone or is it on?
No, it's on the guy's phone out there.
Okay.
Cohen. Okay, Cohen, I'm going to have to call you on a video, or can you call the courthouse on a video or Zoom or whatever, Cohen? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. City objects.
Relevant to the case. Well, he didn't say it was okay.
Hold on.
He just hung up the phone.
Give me a chance to talk. Okay. You did receive notice of this hearing, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But I was given 5 minutes, and I had him on the phone. And within that 5 minutes, I mean, it would take him 1 minute. He has a computer. He has everything.
Well, you had up until this hearing to arrange for this.
Yes, sir.
So I did give you some time. Doesn't look like we can get somebody on the line at this point. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I know you had given the with this last situation, they had given them 5 days to submit the video that had sound. Mm-hmm. Can I have one day, 24 hours to submit my statement from my son and the witnesses I have? May I be given 24 hours to submit witnesses before you decide on the outcome of this?
So I think the issue last time was we couldn't access the video.
No, they couldn't do this. The officer did have sound.
He did have the video.
Well, he played it on his cell phone.
And we did have that, but it was included. I think we just couldn't play it on here for that hearing.
Right, and then the officer came up with his cell phone and went to play it and then hit stop.
Yes, and then I went back and reviewed it for the first one. So let me ask you this. Has your car alarm gone off multiple times?
Has it gone off multiple times? Multiple times in what time frame? And like, it has gone off where it went off like a long time, maybe twice or something like that since I've had the car. Prior to that, I never had a problem. She's never even said anything to me about this, even when I owned the black car. She's never come to me at all till after the fact. She had the issue with my husband and tried to contact my mortgage company, who told her to call the police. So if this was a problem that was ongoing, even with she texted me a few months ago and asked me if I knew somebody to pull weeds. So like, if she had such a problem with this, why didn't she come to me and talk to me about this? This is not something that's been ongoing. That's a lie.
Anything else you would like to add?
I just would. I would appreciate if you could at least give me till the closing hour or at least to the end of the day, because I have all my children, three who are adults. They go to school. All my kids are in college or high school. I have the neighbor across the street that already wrote a statement for my mortgage company in regards to her. Like, my mortgage company has a statement about how she gossips and starts trouble. All this, the guy right across the street who used to work for her. I mean, I can get that statement from Habitat. I didn't think I needed all that. In all due respect, I do feel maybe a warning. This should count as my warning. I don't feel that this should count as my citation. And it hasn't happened since that day when they came and issued me this citation, which was like hours after all this going on. So I feel, in fairness, that if it happens again, then yeah, I should be cited. Maybe if that's what they consider a noise ordinance. But there's no malice intentions at all.
Okay, so ma'am, I'm not entitled to, or I'm not inclined to continue this case. I think you have had ample notice and ample time to secure any witnesses or any statements that you needed to secure. City, is there anything else you would like to add?
Just one more clarification, that the notice of violation that was given prior to this citation was not in relation to the prior case, but was solely in relation to this case.
Okay.
Well, I didn't understand that.
The notice of violation, which is what we give you prior to a citation, the one that I gave you guys was solely related to this case, not related to any previous case.
So I was given a warning on this case and a citation at the same time?
Not at the same time.
You guys started issuing me citations from day one.
For this case specifically, you've been issued one citation, and the notice of violation was provided on October 17th.
Okay, and on October 17th, I was given a citation. When was I given this warning? What date was that?
Ma'am, I think you're thinking of when I wrote you citations. Those were different. Those were directly to your driver's license. These are for the property. They're separate.
Okay, so... I was not guilty of. So this is a brand new case. So if it's a brand new case, I wasn't guilty of the other ones, then where's my written cite?
So
where's my warning?
Just to clarify, on October 17th, you were given a notice of violation that was the warning for this case, not for any other one. On November 5th, you were given a citation.
So when were the two incidences happening? When did if that was my ticket on November 5th, on October 17th, when I was given a warning, I was not guilty of that. So therefore, where's my...
Ma'am, the first one was a warning. The second one, because it happened again, you were actually issued the citation.
When he said there was a warning, that was not... The warning that they gave me was the same day they gave me a citation at the same time, which I was not guilty of.
According to this, and City, correct me if I'm wrong, the warning was on October 17th. And the actual citation was on November 5th?
Correct. Warning meaning notice of violation on October 17th.
On October 17th, they did issue me a different ticket. They did it two different ways. They did one against my license, one against my property. So they did give me a citation on October 17th also that I was not guilty of. Okay. And that was when they gave me the warning at the same time. But then they issued it a different way. They said, we're not only going to put it against your land, we're going to put it against your license. That's why there's these multiple things. If you can double check, when I was issued this, the day I was given the warning was the day I was of a citation, just written the other way.
Just to answer that, the reason that I was the one that came and gave a notice of violation was because Officer San Miguel was out of office on October 17th. So there's no way that he gave you a citation on the day that he wasn't here.
Okay. They told me when I went in there, which I could probably pull up on my phone and recorded my conversation with the guy when I went to Codes to find out about the ticket, the guy says to me, well, we issued it against your property. Then we issued you, so this is like third citation we issue against your license. But the reason we did it against your license this time is because you have a Habitat for Humanity home, and we don't want the fees to pile up against your home. But in all due respect, now he's sitting here saying it was because somebody was out of office. No, I think it's just a way to try to, like, get at me whatever way they can. I feel if those two tickets were dismissed and I was not guilty of them, then they should be obsolete. Therefore, in this case, this should be my warning my written notice or whatever, a notice.
So that's a separate matter, ma'am. So this case is a completely new matter. So
I was never given I was never given a warning.
Okay.
My warning was given at the time of a citation. So if I was not guilty of that citation, October 17th, if I got issued the ticket November 5th, when did this event take place? When November 5th, when was I warned? What happened? Like, I'm confused. Because if this is a one-time occurrence, November 5th, what happened October 17th? Why was I given a warning? For what? What happened then? What was the warning for? The citation that I was dismissed, that I'm not guilty of? What was the warning for? Can I ask them?
Just a courtesy warning.
Courtesy warning of what event that took place. There was no negligence. There was no noise ordinance that took place. I was not guilty of that.
Okay. Well, this is a separate matter, so we're here for this matter. So, okay. Anything else, City?
Nothing else, sir.
All right. Based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122970, I find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the citation filed in this matter. I will uphold the citation fine in the amount of $75. Ma'am, you can make arrangements to pay that. I would encourage you to, if your alarm keeps going off and you need to get it fixed, or else you're going to keep incurring citations and/or other code enforcement fines.
So. Okay. What if I disagree with this decision? What's the protocol after that?
So you can appeal it within 30 days to the circuit court.
What do I go to, like, the Daytona Circuit Court? I don't know who the
circuit court is. It'd be DeLand. DeLand Courthouse, 7th Circuit Court in DeLand.
Okay.
So with that finding of fact, Mr. Knight, I just want to confirm that sets her as a repeat offender, that if the violation does continue, she'd be subject to a $500 immediate fine against her property. Is that correct?
How am I a repeat offender?
That's correct.
If it continues past today, if it happens again past today with this finding of fact, you would be subject to an immediate $500 leaned against your property per time it happens.
So anybody in my neighborhood, if their horn honks, or if they honk their horn, that's noise ordinance violation? or if their car alarm goes off?
If there's evidence establishing that it's constantly going off and it's documented.
Can I see her evidence of my car alarm going off? Can she show the video or whatever she submitted? Can I see the evidence, please, so I know what I'm looking at? Because I don't believe this.
Well, I've already made my ruling, ma'am.
Okay. So I can't see her proof.
If you would like a copy of what the city has submitted, then you can request that. But
okay, so okay, can I see the video? Can I get
of course. Proof yeah, we can give you a copy. If you want to come down to the code office,
does
we can
it
make
have
sure
my car
copy.
in the video, or is it just a noise?
It's irrelevant to the ruling at this
no,
point.
No, it's not, because it's a lie.
Okay.
So I'm guilty of something, and I can't even see her evidence she submitted. She probably has somebody sitting there honking a horn. I'd like to see my car in the video. This is a nuisance, and 21 times is bullcrap. Okay. Like, I mean, this is crazy. I'm going to take this all the way, whatever I got to do.
Okay.
Because I bet that video does not have my car in it.
And I've made my ruling, so other than that, that is all that we have on the agenda for today.
Okay.
We'll call this meeting to a close. Thank you.
Can I get something with, like, the number or whatever? I go to the courthouse, they're not going to know what I'm talking about. Can I get another copy of that today, like now?
The best thing that you can do is do a records request.
Okay.
Make sure you get second copies of everything that you've already got.
Can you verbally tell me so I can write it down? Okay. And you gave me a warning when? October 17th?
So I'm done talking about
I'm
that.
Not talking to you. I was talking to him.
It doesn't matter. It's
okay.
Time to go. Let's go.
Thank you.
Please step out.